Welcome to the American Hard Enduro Podcast.
Welcome to the American Hard Enduro Podcast number 18 of 2021. I'm Drew Kirby. Before we get to tonight's guest, I'd like to thank a couple companies that have been great to us this year. First up, SLM Racing, KTM of North Texas. Will and I both really enjoyed our 2021 300 XCWs. I look forward to working with those guys again in 2022. And also Rob Kosler with Moto Lab Suspension outside of Chattanooga, Tennessee. He's kept all our suspension working smoothly. Anytime Will or I puts a ding or a dent in something, he's got us back on the trail as quick as possible. So if you guys are in those areas, check out either of those companies. They're both good guys to work with. So without further ado, I'm going to get to the guy I've been trying to chase down for a while, Josh Shecker. Josh, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Drew. Sorry I was hard to chase down. It's just it's a hectic life over here, but I wouldn't want it any other way.
Well, so let's talk about it, Josh. Where are you in the world right now?
I'm in San Diego right now.
San Diego. Where have you been and where are you going?
I'm headed tomorrow morning. I'm flying to Poland, loads for the first round of Super Enduro.
Okay.
I'll be there till Sunday. I'm traveling with Colton, crashing on his couch.
I heard some rumors about you going back to work and spinning wrenches for Husky. Is there any truth to that?
Yeah, I heard that rumor yesterday. Somebody called me up and asked me what the deal was, but it's not true. I'm not coming back as a mechanic. I'm just trying to stay on the pulse of what's going on and the racing that I want to be involved in. And Super Enduro is that. And this first round is going to be pretty awesome. I think the competition's major. It's stacked. There's a lot of really good guys that can be on that podium and even challenge for the win. And more competition than I've seen on Enduro Cross track or Super Enduro track. It's maybe since 2015.
Well, there's definitely some good guys. The favorite thing, I saw the list of riders competing, and it showed Billy Bolt on a FC530. Did you catch that in the little release?
No. I saw that roster. I didn't see that.
Yeah, I think they obviously, you know, switched up the 3 and the 5. So instead of a 350, it was a 530. I think we posted on Instagram and got a bunch of comments about it.
It'd be a lot cooler if you raced on a 530.
Oh, yeah. So, all right. So before we get into Super Enduro, let's back up. We haven't done a podcast since Enduro Cross wrapped up. You were involved with Todd and the guys with Kicker and the Enduro Cross. What was your role and how'd you like it this year?
Well, my role was, I was like a floor manager, a track consultant when we were building the race course, kind of clerk of the course the week leading up as the materials would come in. I was just kind of making sure that the left line was as fast as the right line. Everything was even. Obstacles were doable, whether it was for the amateur class or the pro class. And everybody was getting a good experience on the same racetrack. Then when the racing would come, I'd hang out there, make sure the track was developing, kind of monitor how the track was developing to see if the matrix needed some more screws and some more straps in it, or if the tire section was getting too cupped out. So when the operators had that 10-minute reprep time during intermission, I could send them in one direction or the other. And then just, you know, being able to watch all the racing and wave the blue flag for when the leaders are coming through. Cause I generally know in all classes in Enduro Cross, what place the top three people are in.
Well, very good. Well, now, so it's been over for probably a month now. Looking back, how was it? How do you think the turnout was in the racing and kind of the series overall? I guess it's kind of the first year with fans since Todd's taken over.
Yeah, so it wasn't hard to up the ante or do a better job after Glenn Helen. Not that, you know, anything was wrong with Glenn Helen, but under COVID restriction and staying in one venue, it's not that much. It's not as exciting as traveling around the country and getting a different track every race weekend. And we got way more riders by doing that. So I definitely learned a lot. I learned a lot from Todd and his crew. He has a lot of experience with putting on races and events. And I learned a lot that'll hopefully help elevate Enduro Cross even more next year, because I do plan on staying involved for another season and hopefully making it bigger and keeping it growing and stuff. And I being on the floor was great for me because I got a whole nother perspective. I've been a racer in Endurocross. I've been a mechanic and I've been a spectator, but this time I was actually working the event. I saw the behind the scenes stuff that leads up to it during the week prior. And then all the behind the scenes stuff during the race weekend as well. And what happens afterwards. And like I said, that did nothing but teach me a lot, and it'll help me make Endurocross even better next year.
Very cool. So now that you said that, you were, you know, on a whole different role and a different behind the scenes, what was your biggest takeaway? Was it, you know, what was your biggest eye opening? Like, oh man, it's way harder to build the track than we thought. Or, you know, the one thing you told me that surprised me was getting the right, like you mentioned it earlier, getting the left line and the right line through the rock section that's pretty even, so you don't have just one line that's the hot line.
Yeah, that's really important for specifically the pro class, but you know, the amateurs will figure it out too. They'll know what an easy line is and they'll all file into that. And we don't want to see that. We want to see racing across the board. If I could have four lines in a rock section, that's it. That's, we did a good job. But the biggest takeaway I had from it was probably, surprising enough, is I feel like it's harder to build an Endurocross track than a hard enduro track, because you're kind of under the microscope the whole time. With everybody gets an opportunity to walk the track. The track's only, you know, 40 seconds for our top pros to do a lap sometimes. So you cover that's what makes it under the microscope. They're looking at it in detail. Everybody's out there giving you your opinion. I love to hear the rider's opinion, the team's opinion and stuff, but you know, it's one guy wants me to flip one rock. Another guy wants me to put a little more dirt in front of a log. Another guy wants me to take a little dirt off the log. So I'd rather just surprise these guys and just have them come in, do their track walk, race it, get a little feedback in between practices, tune it up. But by the time night show comes, just race that track.
Yeah, I think you said it best mid-season when you said you're way too accessible for those guys, that you're out there and they're walking right by you the whole time, telling, you know, everyone's got their opinion, like you said, good, bad, or indifferent.
Yeah, and it's all close. You can see the track from the stands. We're in a hard enduro.
You can go hide in the woods.
I'm improving it. They know it. They don't have much input. They just say, "Go, Josh, go out in the woods and do your job."
Yeah, I like it. I can't wait to get there and get the surprise. So, well, what any word on, like you said, you're planning on doing some enduro cross stuff next year. Schedule, roughly, obviously it'll be after TKO kicking off, same kind of schedule. You heard anything? They still working on it, obviously.
They're still working on it. I'm encouraging them to, you know, kind of stick to the, try and get some more races back in the Northwest. Go back to Idaho again, go back to Everett or Washington. We would pack houses there every year. So that's my input for the next season as far as locations and schedules. And then that's another aspect of the racing that I still need to learn, you know, and luckily I got a lot of people helping me out and sharing the information and what it takes to schedule a venue. And with our race schedule and their hockey schedule or basketball schedule or monster truck or whatever they got going on, and bringing it to town at the right time. So we're not, you know, coming to town one weekend after Nitro Circus where everybody already went to Nitro Circus last weekend, so they don't want to go to another race this weekend, or that, you know, that was their month, their weekend off activity.
Well, and I think that's what, kind of to change the subject to hard enduro, you know, our season kind of wrapped up at TKO and it was like, it's mid-August and hard enduro is over. You know, for a lot of us guys on the East Coast that don't do enduro cross, we had a couple SEER races that really, you know, we had to look forward to, but then our SEER series ended in, I think it was September 25th, and it was just like, all right, now the season's over. So it was kind of a bummer, yeah. But I know what you mean about trying to get people while they're hungry and want to see some more action.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I understand what you're saying, Drew. If it was up to me, I'd shift the whole schedule around and just race the indoors only when it's snowing outside, you know, and raining and stuff. Because when we're wrapping up at TKO, some properties are just opening up, you know, they had a couple months to build their race course with their team and they're ready to have their race, but the hard enduro season's over. So yeah, my maybe someday we'll see it my way.
Yeah, maybe. Well, I will say that TTC in late September, I think it was maybe in late September, early October. I can't exactly remember, but it was pretty awesome. Water in the creeks, some leaves down.
Yeah, I was stoked when you sent me the pictures of how full the rivers were.
Ugh.
I sent those to the entire Enduro Cross or
TKO team.
Yeah.
Yeah. They would have loved it. All those Red Bull guys. So we obviously, I was going to go straight to Super Enduro, but a little hard Enduro. Next year, the Hard Enduro World Championship, they've announced pretty much the whole schedule. We've got TKOs back on there. And then 2 weeks afterwards, we're going to Canada for the Outliers race. Is that correct?
Yep, that's right. Okay. Yep.
All right. So that'd be cool. So we're back on the World Championship Series, which is cool because I thought that really brought, you know, wish it would have been a little more wet for those guys, make it a little harder. But, you know, maybe next year it'll be a monsoon. You never know.
They liked it, though, man. They really did, just as it was. I mean, I heard Billy, I think, talk. I listened to his podcast, and he said that was his highlight of the year. I mean, it might have been, especially because that's when the point swing happened. He made the last lap pass. That's that's a hell of a race for him. Yep. And, but yeah, if they got a wet one, I don't know. I think we still would have seen Manny and Billy up there battling it out just as they were.
Yeah, that was they're definitely they were going. So, well, on to Super Enduro. So you, like you mentioned earlier, you guys are flying out, I think, in the morning to Poland. It's a 5-race series, is that correct? Which is it's way more spread out than I thought.
Yeah, there's supposed to be a doubleheader round in Germany. That one already got postponed. So hopefully we see it go off. I don't know off the top of my head what the dates are that it got moved to, but
Yeah, the schedule I'm looking at says it's March 19th and 20th. I don't know if that was pre-pushed or if that's accurate.
That's accurate because the first round would have been a couple days after New Year's. It's always the first weekend of January because we've been to that round many a times. My birthday is January 3rd, so I always remember the trip to Germany.
Or you don't remember it.
Hey.
You remember most of it. But, okay, so that explains it because I was looking, I guess, December 4th, which is this weekend, is Poland, and January 20th, February 5th, and then that back-to-back round in March 19th and 20th in Germany. So, 5-round series. I sent Cody a message right before we recorded. He's doing all the rounds. So there's rumors Colton's doing one, he's doing two. You got any input? Any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the for sure deal on that. Obviously I'm really close with Colton. We're buddies, you know, we grew up together, we live close to each other, but
I was gonna say, what's that? You just threw
up. You still there? I got you still?
Yeah, you got me. I just got a picture of it.
Still?
Yeah, we're recording.
My sister was calling me. Sorry.
No. Love you, sister.
I ignored her. Sorry, Alicia.
Ain't call her back.
Yeah. So, the rumors. I don't know. Yeah. I've been hearing rumors too, but I don't see why they wouldn't just keep him racing all season. You're building the guy a bike. You're sending a mechanic to a race. You're already sending a van with the mechanics to the race. If he's going over there for the first one, he's racing the whole series. That's what my opinion is. I don't know. I haven't been up to Husky yet since I've been down in Southern California, but you better believe I'm going to be there next week looking for some – digging through the trash can, looking for nuts and bolts for my bikes.
Well, hey, so speaking of nuts and bolts and stuff you hear behind the scenes, Alfredo Gomez, he isn't going to be with Husky anymore. I didn't see his name on the roster. Did I miss it, or is he not racing?
I didn't think Alfredo had intended on racing.
Okay.
And I know, he's leaving the team.
Was that by his choice or Husky's choice? You got any thoughts? I've heard Husky didn't renew his contract.
I wouldn't know.
Okay. Enough said. I wasn't fishing. That's what I heard. So I wasn't sure.
No, I don't know. I hope the best for Alfredo. No matter what he's going to do, he's going to kick ass next year. But I don't know the details of his signing with the team or not.
Well, I mean, I thought after he won Hispania that race, I was like, and then to let him go. I mean, he's a race winner this year, but again, I know you're close to all those situations. So moving on.
Yeah. I really look forward to seeing what happens with Alfredo, and I'm excited to see what's next for him. And it's definitely, I'm real curious to know too. And I'm going to try and find out this weekend. Maybe we'll talk after the race and I'll be able to let you know.
All right. Well, sounds good. So when you say you're flying back Sunday. So you're just flying over. What is tomorrow? Tomorrow's Wednesday. So we're recording this Tuesday, November 30th. You're flying December 1st over there.
Yep. Okay. And we're going to basically be time traveling. We lose like 20 something hours in travel. We'll get there. We'll leave here on Wednesday. We'll get there on Thursday. And then when we fly home on Sunday, we'll still get home on Sunday. It's just, I call it time traveling.
You're gaining it on the way back. Well, what, when is the actual race? Like, we give us a quick rundown on the race, like race day schedule. Is it all Saturday? Kind of like Enduro.
It's all Saturday. Riders will come in on Friday. You do technical inspection on Friday. FIM tech, sound test, bike check, brakes, spokes. They run through the bike and mark a bunch of stuff. Okay. There'll be like a GoPro hot lap. Usually the riders will hang out and watch that on Friday night. Any one of the top 10 riders gets to do it. And then Saturday, it's quite similar to Endurocross. There's stuff going on during the day, practice, but practice for all the classes. And then, definitely a three moto night show, just like Endurocross on Saturday night.
Okay, so three moto night show. All right. Well, sweet. Well, I can't wait to see it. Like you said, I think it's a pretty wild field. Hopefully Billy and Manny don't just do kind of what they did in the hard enduro scene and kind of gap everyone. Obviously we don't know, but so it'd be good to see a little more parity.
I think there will be. I think with that many fast guys on the track, it gets pretty chaotic. I'm sure there will be a time this year where you see Billy off the podium. I'm sure there will be a time where you see Manny off the podium, because there's so many guys that are going to get in there and mix it up. I don't think this is anybody's title right out of the gate. Manny hasn't raced super enduro in I think 4 seasons. He won the junior world championship, and then I don't think he came back after that. And he just stuck to hard enduro and was kind of grinding at that. And you saw what that produced. And it's hard to go from hard enduro to enduro cross. You know, it's not everybody excels at it like they do in hard enduro. It's quite a bit different. I mean, Ryder's a great example of it. You know, and unfortunately he wasn't breaking the podiums this year in enduro cross, but he sure was in hard enduro.
Yeah.
And no, absolutely. I think you said
Ryder LeBlanc is who you're talking about, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, and so, okay. Looking through, I just pulled up on my phone the list of people in the prestige class, as they call it. We got Billy Bolt, Johnny Walker. Johnny's going to be on the two-stroke. Do you think that'll slow him down at all?
No.
Okay. Because that's what Tim Apol and also Tim Apol. So, anyway, let me run through these real quick. Billy Bolt, Johnny Walker, Manuel Lettenbeckler, Taddy Blazusiak. I'd like to see him come back and be competitive. I don't know how his shoulder is. I know it was getting him at TKO.
You can never count Taddy out.
Absolutely not. Cody Webb, then Paul Torres is going to be on a WR450.
Nah, I think he's going to ride a two-stroke.
You think so? That's what it is. I'm just reading you what it says on the thing. But it also said Billy was going to be on an FE530. So then William Hoare. Yeah, okay. I know, I didn't want to say that.
He's really good.
Okay, and then DeLigo, I don't even know. Don't know. I got Tim Apol, Colton Haker, and then Suf Salela. Sella?
Yeah, he's from Israel.
Okay, yep. All right, so obviously Billy and Manny kind of stepped away or pulled away at hard enduro. Who do you see contending with them this year? I mean, Cody and Colton, they going to have something for them?
Well, I hate to say it, you know, no offense to Manny, but I'm gonna definitely knock him down a couple notches from where he was in his in the world championship of hard enduro.
Okay, different, his rider, different discipline.
Yeah, just, you know, he hasn't been pushing towards it in the past few years. He's really been focused on the hard enduro thing, and I think he's trying to be more rounded right now. I think that's what the teams really want. But I see Billy being really hard to beat.
Okay.
He's beatable, and I think Cody and Colton are going to give it to him. But I see the top being, you know, Billy, Cody, Colton, Johnny, Manny.
Well, you know,
not Billy, particularly in that order, but like kind of.
The biggest concern I have about Billy is he sends it, and I don't know if enduro cross it'll bite him.
He definitely sends it, but he's been harnessing that power this year, because he's still sending it at all these hard enduros. And I mean, that's the difference between him and Manny sometimes. Is Billy's big sends, and Manny's a little cleaner and more techy. Billy can pull out some stuff, and Manny's just there all the time. And again, I don't want to take it any away from any of these guys. I mean, they're still going to be – it's anybody's race, really, including Manny. I just don't know what he's going to look like. I haven't seen him ride hard Enduro Cross or Super Enduro in a few years.
Well, because they didn't have Super Enduro, obviously, last year, COVID. And then, right, I don't think there was – I don't remember seeing
it. Right. They were supposed to do it, and then the season before is the one that got cut short. The final round got postponed and then ultimately canceled, and the Billy won his championship, like – in his backyard at his test track.
Oh, yeah. Just for
show. Instagram.
Instagram win.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good luck to all those guys. I hope our American boys can go over there and put it on the podium and contend for some wins. So good luck to Colton. Good luck to Cody, for sure.
Yeah. We'll keep everybody posted on how to check out the info. And, you know, I'll do my best on Instagram. Somebody even said, hey, Josh, why don't you do like a Facebook Live?
Yeah.
So everybody can watch some stuff and do some commentary. So I'll definitely do something because I'm actually legitimately spectating this round, like up in the stands and stuff. So.
Well, and that was, I will say, backing up to Enduro Cross, like the Flow TV coverage was really good. Like having Daniel Blair and Kristen Beat, like gave it a little more legitimacy, I think, to some people that don't normally follow our sport. You know, I follow Supercross quite a bit, which I think a lot of people do, but Daniel Blair's kind of coming up and doing some bigger things there, and to have him in Enduro Cross was good. And I think Cody being in the booth the first few rounds really helped as well.
Yeah, I'm super happy Cody came out and stuck with the series all year, came to all the rounds. I think he might have missed one round, but dude, I'm pretty sure he flipped his own bill just to come to our races. And I appreciate that. And he's great, definitely, as you said, great to have in the booth. There's not many people that know as much about Enduro Cross as Cody Webb.
Well, and I mean, it was good. You know, he's obviously getting older, and he sees the value in promoting the sport and, you know, leaving a little legacy behind. And he really helped Daniel with some technical stuff and pointing him in the right direction. So they were a good team, for no doubt.
Yeah. Yeah. We need those passion driven guys to keep this thing going. People that love it, dude. That's why I'm here. I love Enduro Cross. I love hard Enduro, and I love my little dirt bike family all across the world.
So that's a good segue into what you're doing in 2022. Where you want to start for year 2022? The big news, the schedule that came out.
Yeah. So the first part of the year, definitely. I mean, that's what I can talk about now, because I don't know what's happened in the second part of the year, but we did just release the AMA hard enduro schedule.
No, it's the U.S. hard enduro schedule.
Yeah.
Is AMA, the official name.
U.S. AMA, hard enduro US. Series.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about, we've rebranded, or I don't want to say we, you guys have rebranded a little bit. Instead of extreme off-road, we've now calling it hard enduro. Is that correct?
Yeah. And, you know, in my opinion, hard enduro is definitely more marketable for us to share with the rest of the world, because that's what it's more
universal,
internationally known as. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, I want to give a huge shout out to Elevated Action Sports. So I wouldn't be, you know, dabbling in this series again without the support of Matt Musgrove and the whole team behind him. It'll be Matt Musgrove and Rob Mitchell, a couple of guys that are, you know, great at their what they do. And Matt has a lot of experience, and Rob has a lot of experience. And I'm super stoked to be working with them next year for this championship.
Well, and I don't know how much I can or can't say, but thank you to you three for, and Matt, I think mostly, for stepping up, taking the bull by the horns and getting the series on track for 2022. Cause there was some time there where it was looking like we might not have a hard enduro series for 2022. So thank you guys. I'm glad Matt was able to put all the pieces together. Rob came on board. You're on board. You know, still going to be in East and West, which I don't know how else we can do it. TKO is still not part of the series. It's still the AMA Grand National Championship, which it's always been. So that's no different. But thank you guys for putting all this together. Schedule finally came out. We've got a few new rounds. I think there's 10 rounds on the schedule. One's TBA, new round in Pennsylvania. So exciting times.
Yeah, you're right, dude. Matt definitely stepped up. Super big thanks to Matt. And he gives me the confidence, man. He can handle a whole bunch of stuff that I'm not as good at, and I'm out there on the course handling some of the more, you know, boots on the ground stuff that he needs help with, and we make a really good team. So we did that IRC Enduro Fest at Oropino last year, and that's when we were like man, we could really do some rad shit together, dude. Let's keep talking about it. And so we did, and it developed. We worked with AMA and all the events, and all these events we're going to this year are, you know, people that I enjoyed working with in the past, and I approve of their events. And we've spent a lot of time talking, a lot of phone calls, and I'll be at all these venues ahead of time. As soon as I get back from Poland, I'm going to go check out some stuff in Ridgecrest. I'll be down in Page, hopefully before January 1st. And, you know, on site, making sure all these race courses are bitching for all classes.
Well, all classes. You got any new classes you want to talk about? I've been pushing for a class.
Yeah, Drew. I know, Drew. You and
okay. Well, hold on. Before we get to the actual classes, for all us old guys out there, I want a 40 pro class for all of us old guys that we know we're not going to win the pro class, but we'd love to have a little competition within the competition. So, but what have you guys, and it hadn't been released yet, have you guys talked about classes, structure? Is it going to be kind of similar to what we've done in the past? Have you gotten that far along yet? I know the schedule was the big push.
Yeah, it's definitely, we added one class. I know Drew wants a 40 plus class or 40 plus pro. That 45 plus pro class. See, it's already too complicated.
No, 40. I can't. I'm not 45 yet. I can't raise that one.
Okay, well, let's see how Drew changes his mind once he's 45. But
of course, absolutely.
yeah, we have a schoolboy class. We're trying to figure out how to get the youth into the series. Because it's hard, you know, when your wheels are smaller, it's definitely changes the game, and your displacement smaller. So why not at least stack you up against guys your own age?
Absolutely.
So we'll have a schoolboy class for the youth riders. I'm not sure on the bike displacement sizes. I don't know the rule off the top of my head, but I want to say that they're going to be allowed to ride even. I suggested trials bikes, but I don't know if that's official yet, because trials bikes, the big problem that some of the other people have with the trials bikes is they can't necessarily go as far. But after my experience with Endurocross this year and watching the youth trials class, it actually brought more young riders in than we've ever had in Endurocross. So maybe the trials bikes is the key. That's still in discussions. And that's just giving you guys a little inside info on what kind of stuff we talk about to come to these conclusions behind the scenes.
Why do you think the youth trials class got more people? Like, obviously a smaller person could be more competitive on a trials bike because of the lower seat, lower weight, because it's still got the bigger, most of them have the bigger wheels or the full size wheels. That's not a bad idea. I like it.
Well, yeah, the bike's damn near 80 pounds lighter. I don't know exactly, but I think it is 80 pounds lighter.
Right, they're 150. I mean,
150 pounds lighter. Yeah. Really?
No, 150 pounds.
Oh no, they're 150 pounds. Yeah. So we're in the same ballpark for sure.
Yeah. 80.
So I think that just alone really is a big advantage for these guys.
Yeah. Well, and there's no seat. So obviously touching the ground is, you know, I mean, that's the other big thing with a kid. I know Jeff Aaron's kid was out there ripping it up at a lot of them. But all right. So classes will be coming out, rules. Again, I don't know how much we can talk about drop rounds, anything with that we can talk about, or is that all just going to be coming out in the future?
I think for the pro class, we're going to have a drop round on each coast.
Okay.
And that is mainly because there's a world championship round scheduled on top of one of our West Coast rounds.
Okay.
And there's a world championship round scheduled on top of one of our East Coast rounds. Now, we don't want to limit the opportunity for any of our U.S. pros to be able to go overseas and ride that world championship.
Absolutely.
Which is where we decided that maybe having a drop round is going to be the best move.
Okay.
I don't think we should have a drop round for any of the amateurs. I don't think the amateurs are going to go to Italy to race that same weekend as our East Coast round. So I think the amateur that shows up to the most rounds should be rewarded, not just be like, hey man, you get a drop. One guy got a drop and another guy showed up to five rounds. I think the guy that showed up to five rounds should get all five rounds worth of points.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
It's not fair to us to have jobs and lives, but I understand.
I know, but Drew, if you were able to send it and make it to five rounds and some other guy sent it and only made it to four,
yep.
And he just called that last round his drop, but you actually drove to it and he beat you by 1 point, don't you think you should make that – you should win that championship because you made it to one more round than he did?
Yes, I definitely see both sides of it being in my current life position. You know, because I missed one of the SEER races because my wife's cousin decided to – randomly schedule a wedding on Labor Day, 2 months before Labor Day. But anyway, I'm still bitter, but hey, it's what it is. All right, so will it be also, and you may not know this, we're going to have like last year, I think we had an East champion and a West champion for all classes and then an overall champion.
That's right. We're going to still do the same thing.
Okay.
We're going to have I don't know the AMA rule on the overall championship. It is in the ruling that there's going to be an overall AMA champion.
Yep.
But like Tristan was the overall champion from last year. So he gets to run number one all this year.
Okay.
Or this coming year. But we give an official West regional title and an official East regional title. And then I think is an unofficial overall, but it's our series leader.
Okay.
Our series champion.
Okay. And then I know in the past we've done AMA state championship plates. Do you know if that's going to be in effect or not? Because the reason we never had two races in the same state is because it conflicted with this state championship thing. But now we've got two in Pennsylvania. Any have you talked about that at all?
No, I wasn't really aware of a state championship.
Yeah, so basically for every race, like I've got two AMA number one plates, and it's an AMA state championship for like Battle of the Goats 1 year. I'm the North Carolina Hard Enduro champion for A class. Just something to think about because that's why in the past we haven't had two races in the same state. So, yep, get the notepad out.
Okay, I'm putting it on there.
I see you writing, and I think this is going to be audio only, but you never know. We may end up putting the video out. But no, exciting times because, I mean, 10 rounds, that's going to be sweet. I'm looking forward to it. The only thing I'm not liking, Pennsylvania, home, back to Pennsylvania 2 weeks later instead of a week later. But I think we talked in the middle of all this, and you guys said you couldn't get them back-to-back, correct?
Yeah, I push for that too because I think everybody, when they make a swing to one coast, I think it's good for them to be able to hit two rounds back-to-back weekends rather than have one off between. Even you know, you're on the East, so you're going to be able to go – you're going to be closer to PA than the West Coast boys. But, yeah, that came down to just them scheduling and what worked best for their clubs. And, man, I got to say that scheduling was the hardest aspect of this whole – bringing this whole series together. I mean, everybody's got their dates and they got their reasons. And when you try and mix 10 rounds together and everybody's got their own reasons of why they shouldn't move, pretty much everybody's reasons are equally important. And,
you're fighting weather because you can't have it in the winter in a lot of locations, like some of the stuff out West you can. And then you're also fighting, like you said, dates and trying to pair up West Coast and East Coast. And I think it's better we don't have any East Coast, go to the West Coast, the next weekend back to the East Coast like we did last year, which was unavoidable, but it looks better. I know I would never want to try and schedule a race. And you've got to schedule it around, what, GNCC and National Enduro schedule and some of the stuff out West, or at least
– Yeah, a little bit of that stuff. We try and look at that stuff, especially this year, more than in the past, because now we got Jordan Ashburn, who's like freaking jack of all, man. I can see that guy squeaking onto a podium, no problem. He's kicking ass, and
dude, he just won a race this past weekend, beating Nick Ferringer and Ryder LeBlanc. So
yeah, I saw that, man. Yeah. The night one, the Ozark 100, right?
Ozark 100 is 75 miles in the daytime, 25 miles at night. And it wasn't a true hard enduro; it was a lot of fast, tight stuff. And Jordan said Nick was moving.
He rode the two-stroke, didn't he?
Yep, rode the two-stroke. Yeah. No, yeah. He even put hand guards on because it was going to be so tight, which I was like, ah, it's impressive. So, but no, he had a good payday. He said that was the second highest paying race in America behind Tough Like Roar. He got $3,000 for the win plus, I think, $450 because he got all three hole shots.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Maybe I can go to the Ozark 100 and see if I can help them step it up and make it super hard.
Yeah, I'm sure. So,
Anyways, guys like Jordan, we're super happy to have him in the sport. And we are going to try and work around some of the national enduro and hard enduro stuff just to make sure we can keep guys like him and people alike, you know, that also want to do both in the mix. But when it comes down to it, it's all about the hard enduro here on this side.
All right. So, exciting times. Thank you guys for getting the series, keeping it going this year, rebranded. Love the hard enduro instead of extreme off-road. Really, really like that. So what else? You told me you've got another race in Mexico you're working on. Let's kind of move to what else you've got lined up this year.
Yeah, once I Mexico, the Sierra Hard Enduro, that's going to be in February. I want to say the last weekend of February. I am headed out there in a couple more weeks when I return from Poland to do a little scouting mission and check out their terrain and get the whole rundown. And then during February, I'll spend 3 to 4 weeks down there helping build that race course. I'm pretty sure there's going to be three different motos going on there. There's going to be a prologue, like an enduro cross style prologue. There's going to be a 70 kilometer hair scramble style, difficult hair scramble style race, and a 90 kilometer hard enduro GPS race for the final.
That seems long. What is that mile wise? We're talking like 30 miles, 50 miles. Give me a breakdown.
I think 90 kilometers is around 60 miles.
Holy cow. Right. That's a long day.
Yeah. Approximately.
Roughly.
Roughly. So,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so okay. I'm really excited about that. To me, it feels like a similar to like a Romaniacs experience. I'm gonna get myself to some other country with a bunch of people that I don't know that well, become their friends, immerse myself in the culture in the country, and build a badass hard enduro, and then come home and tell everybody about how I'm living the dream.
Well, it was pretty funny. We were talking about the other day and you said, you think I'm closer to that than some of the races. And it's in Monterrey, Mexico, which is 20 hours from East Tennessee, basically straight through Texas and south. So, hey, for everyone that might be looking for something to do in the spring into February, Monterrey, you think you're going to be safe down there? Do I need to get some bail money and some ransom money together?
No, not to elaborate too much, but my experience in countries like that is usually – when we come in to do a dirt bike race, they like us.
Okay. All right. That's good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Josh, that's all I've got on the list, man. What else you want to talk about? Anything on your mind? Anything else you want to discuss? Anything going on?
No, I'm just out here in SoCal right now, mixing it up with the boys at Chocolate Mountain Ranch, helping them around there to escape some snow up in Idaho.
Okay.
I'm closer to my hometown down here, so I'll spend Christmas in Hollister. And how come it took so long to get me on the podcast, Drew?
Just waiting on you. I think you ghosted us the first time you were supposed to be on here. You were doing something. I think you came into town and you flew to Romania. Never did a podcast. You flew back from Romania a month later. Still didn't do a podcast.
Oh, so, yeah, that 11-hour time difference is a little tough.
You're pretty wrecked. So
that's usually how I'm living my life, man. Just wide open, dirt bike stuff, little pooped out.
We tried to have a conversation when you were driving, 22 hours from Idaho to Southern California, sure. And I think we dropped the call 15 times, and we finally gave up.
It ended up being 27 hours.
Oh, so far.
I know. Towing the toy hauler, 27 hours in the last 500 miles were the thorn in my side. They took so long. Las Vegas down to California was bad.
Oh, well, you got anybody hiding out back there? Where'd Colton go? Do you have the shower? Do you put his clothes on? Go get him. So y'all can't see it. Josh is walking.
You guys having a fire?
Yeah, bro.
Oh. Colton, you want to talk to her a little bit?
Sure. Colton, come say what's up.
There's one in there. Okay.
Hopefully he's got clothes on. He doesn't. Y'all aren't going to have video. Oh, hey. Hi.
How are you?
So first of all, congratulations.
On?
On the fifth enduro cross title. haven't talked to you or spoken.
Yep.
So I want you to answer one question about this title. Who won your championship party? Who was the winner of your championship party?
Josh is the undisputed five-time champion of the championship party.
I think the picture
The dude was asleep on the couch, passed out. I mean, asleep. I say asleep. He's like passed out at like 10.
Oh, so that was the night of the party. I thought he was just so bad the next day he was still there.
No, the championship party. The dude passed out on the couch at 10.
No, well, he went hard and early.
He did. He brought it in. He brought us all up to a level, and then he didn't continue that level. We all continued it for him, and then he rallied back. There was a re-rally.
Really? So he was on a roller coaster for the ride. He was up and then he was down and he got back up again.
I mean, it just goes with his life, right? I mean, same thing. It's just the way he likes to do it, I guess.
Yeah. So, all right, I asked him earlier, what the rumor is you're doing one round of Super Enduro, you're doing two rounds of Super Enduro. What, you got anything planned or anything further than you're going to Poland and we'll see what happens?
Yeah, I don't really know, to be honest. Those rumors are all speculations, even on my part. I mean,
okay.
as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to go to all the rounds. So, I just think that going is, to all of them is in everyone's minds. I don't think they would be sending me if I wasn't planning on going to Mall. So.
My, very good. Well, what else has been going on? How's life up in Idaho? You still enjoying it?
Yeah, man. I had to come down here because of the winter a bit, didn't know if it was going to be snowing. It's just kind of whether the snow comes in or not is it hit or miss. Like it could say it'll be snowing for a week and then it's just sunshine a whole week. So it's the weather man is as bad up there as he is anywhere else. I had to come down here to do some riding and to make sure that I could, ride. Cause I can guarantee I'm going to ride in California. Whether rain or shine. So, so we came down here and then, flying out tomorrow morning. And Josh is just full man friend.
No, look at him. He stepped up. He stepped up one notch. No more mechanic. He's just man friend now.
Just full man friend. All the perks. Without any of the like jobs really.
Well, tell him to be. He's got to bring your vlog back. He can be running around filming everything for you.
The vlog guy.
Yeah, he can be vlog guy. Man friend vlog guy.
Man friend vlog. Well, I'll see how he feels about that.
No, he will not like it at all. How's the bike? Well, you're riding the 350 over there. Are you sending one over or is the, I guess I would say Europe guys, but they got a bike over there for you?
Yeah, they built up the bike and over there in, I think in Italy, they built it. And so we sent some stuff, some suspension and some parts, but mostly I think the bike should be about the same, maybe a little bit different. I don't know.
All right, man. Well, hey, good luck at round one. And I hope your man friend can help you out and get you on the podium or up on the top step of the podium.
Yeah, dude. Kind of surprised that he wanted to go, but I'm looking forward to it. I mean, with all this COVID stuff we got going on, I mean, I don't know. It's just like traveling seems difficult, They just try to make it extra difficult for everybody to like go and do things maybe. And, like getting a COVID test in Poland to leave is like something that's on my mind. And we're only there for 3 days. And I'm pretty sure you have to get like a rapid test in order to, have like the results within a certain amount of those couple of days that you're there. Otherwise,
you're stuck.
Who knows? And then, it's just kind of nice to have like, a traveling buddy, especially this first one. If anything goes, whatever, then we're at least not stuck by ourselves.
Yeah. I talked to Sipes today, Ryan Sipes, and he was in Paris for the Paris Supercross. Yep. And he was talking about, I guess when they got there, they went ahead and did a COVID test to get out. I'm like, well, you're there for 3 days. How is that going to work? And it worked out and he tested negative. So he got to come home. So, hey, fingers crossed that works out.
Yeah, apparently you can do a COVID test at the airport as well.
Okay.
If you needed it, if you didn't already get it, I heard that's a thing. And then everywhere's different. Like each country and each federation of the country is different, and different rules are than the next. So it's just kind of like made everything a little bit like
complicated,
more than it needed to be, I guess. And but stoked to have an official man friend at this one. He's always been a man friend, but he had more responsibility than just man friend before. So
a big responsibility.
Yeah, and I'm just stoked to be going back, honestly. I never expected to go back to Super Enduro. Just because they want to keep things fairly separate at Husqvarna KTM Group. Mm-hmm. Just kind of want to keep Euro guys racing in Europe because, you know, for them, on their standpoint, they have guys that can win, right?
Yep.
They have it kind of, for the most part, covered as far as the podium, as far as like the brands, right? They got three brands. Most likely those three brands can win and stay on the podium for the most part. So for them to send me, they gave me opportunity. They asked me if I wanted to go. I didn't have to say yes, but any opportunity to do something that you really truly love doing, is worth all the complicatedness of what we're going to face here. And I'm just, grateful and stoked to have the opportunity again. I'm really happy to go back and see everybody that we haven't seen in a couple of years. You know, we've made a lot of friends over there, and just the whole vibe of it. We've had good experiences, a lot of stories over the years. So, looking forward to more and, keeping it rolling.
All right, man. Well, hey, good luck, and tell Josh thanks for the time, and thanks for coming on here at the end. I'm glad I didn't catch you walking around with no clothes on. I could hear you in the shower when we first started.
Did you see me walk behind you with the towel on?
No, I missed it. I must have closed my eyes right when you walked by.
You're just so used to me with my shirt off now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's how it
was. Just like a normal. It was like a normal night for you.
Yeah, it was just hard enduro all over again in the pit. So, well, man, good luck. Tell Josh, where's Josh?
There.
Josh, thank you for your time.
Thanks, Drew. Thanks to American Hard Girl for everything you guys have done and supported me, and especially you and your family for helping me out. And you've always been a good guy to call on and bounce the ideas off of when it's I need a 40 plus vet, pro.
Hey, you keep saying it enough, it'll be a class. So you just keep repeating it. Keep talking it.
So, okay, I'll try that with the conversations with the AMA next week. I'll just keep bringing it up.
Yeah, I'm sure Kudla will just say whatever Drew wants, he can have 40 plus pro. Let's do it.
We might as well call it the American Hard Enduro class.
Oh gosh, hey, but everyone's welcome except Chuck. He's the only one who can.
I'm gonna pull Chuck out of retirement, Mike Brown, and Jeff Aaron.
Dude,
we'll see who wants to have a pro 40 plus pro class.
Hey, I'll take it. You know what? Anything to line up against those guys. But, dude, hey, safe travels. You've been deemed a man friend now, so good luck with that one.
Right on. I'm looking forward to it.
All right, man. Hey, I'm going to beat you to it. Cheers, Josh.
Cheers, Drew. Bye.
All right, see you.